Let the church say amen. Amen. We say amen again. Amen. We are blessed that we are on the time side of life this morning. We are blessed that God has saw fit to allow us to breathe his air and move as we have saw fit, as he has saw fit to do in this year 2020. We appreciate all of those of you who have tuned in via Facebook live stream, or either the conference call. And we hope, trust, and pray that you are in the mindset to worship God. We have to understand that you have to want to worship God. It's not something that you do out of habit, but that it is understood that God is worthy of your praise. And God is a good God. God is a benefiting God, as Brother Foster used to always say. God is a good God. All by himself, he's good. And even in the midst of our current time in this situation, God is still a good God. And it is up to us to see the goodness that even though I may be confined to a space, I'm able to do some things that I wasn't able to do before, and namely study the word of God. It takes sometimes for us to have to be taken away from all the distractions to give God his due. There have been many things that will, once we get started again, that the Lord's work and the Lord's studying his word will take a back burner. But now you have the time to teach your children the word of God. And you have the time to spend time with your spouse. You have time to make phone calls for people that you haven't been able to reach in years. And now is the time to take advantage, because once we get started again, people tend to forget how important God sustained them in a time of crisis. This morning, we're going to come from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse number 23, is a scripture that we commonly read here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ every Sunday. And we are going to use this as a text to start from. The book of Corinthians was written around 20 plus years after the death of Jesus Christ in 55 AD. And Paul is able to bring us back in time, so to speak, to a very important period in human history. On today in American culture, people want to remember it, call it Easter, and the festivities of dressing up in nice clothes and fine suits and beautiful light-colored dresses. And you know, it's never been about that. We don't want to do something that is contrary to the word of God. We want to glorify the Lord, but it's never been about what we wore to worship. And today, to prove that, we are in T-shirts and blue jeans and pajama bottoms, which takes away the thing that distracts, that more than once a year we should remember Jesus. We find the examples in the scriptures as we will go over today. So hopefully we will be able to see Jesus and the importance of his sacrifice on the cross. And once we get to this understanding, to never forget what was done for you and I will propel us to live a spiritual life as a believer in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse number 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we see Jesus at one of the darkest hours before the darkest hour in his life. And I can identify with that. Some of us may be in the darkest hour of our lives right now. We've lost a job that we've had for many years, and we've depleted our savings at this point. And we know of people who are sick, who have been taken away from the current situation. And we are mindful that this situation is not like something else, and I may not make it out of it. Well, Jesus, before he went, knowing exactly what was laying ahead of him, many times we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but Jesus knew to the point of detail what was going to happen. And so he's sitting with his disciples,
And he brings them a point of reference that we ought to keep still to this day. That on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We find that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And if you have that in mind, every week has a first day. On the first day of the week, in Luke chapter 24, verse number 1, the Bible said, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, women took their spices and prepared them and went to the tomb. They were going to go see Jesus at his tomb, but we knew that once they got there, the stone had been moved, and this day Jesus had been arisen. And it is this hope that Jesus is no longer in his grave, that you and I can base our faith. You and I can look and see that at a moment in time, Jesus was on the cross, but he's not there right now. And that is you and I's hope. That regardless of what's going on in my life, no matter where I am, my Jesus was on a cross, but he didn't stay there. He rose again, and he prepared a place for you and I, that if we remain faithful, we can live eternity with him. On the first day of the week is an important thing. So we, in the Church of Christ, come together on the first day of the week, and we remember Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, look at verse number 24, and this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also took the cup, and he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul adds something in Corinthians that's not mentioned in the Gospels. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew or you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It is important when we take the Lord's Supper, when we break of the bread and think about his sacrifice, that you are making a proclamation that I remember, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for my sins. Every time you break that bread, that is what needs to be going through your mind. You ought to be thoroughly going back and forth, thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus paid on a cross. And every time you do it, you're making a proclamation for everybody in the audience that I believe that Jesus died for you and I. Sometimes we get distracted by our cell phones, what somebody else is talking about, or what else is going on, and we get easily distracted as humans. But when we take of the Lord's Supper this day and every day forward, we should remember the sacrifice of Christ, that we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And he says to them, do this in remembrance of me. One of the worst things you could ever do in your life is to forget what somebody has done for you. And many of us, and especially the younger generations, forget or don't research what generations have gone through before us. And there's a level of entitlement, a lack of appreciation for those who have gone on before us. And particularly Jesus. Don't you forget what I have done, what I'm about to do for you on the cross. And in our time, don't forget what he has done. And the Bible says Paul adds something else that's not included in the gospel. Verse number 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself. Why? How? Not discerning the Lord's body. That Greek word translates to go back and forth thoroughly. That you are thinking about the wounds that was on his back. That they whipped him with a whip that had bones in it, and it ripped the skin off his back. We ought to think about the crown of thorns that was placed on his head. We ought to think about the nails that they placed in his hands while he was on the cross. And we ought to think about the feet that had nails in it as well. So he would try to pull up to try to ease the pain on his feet. And when that hurt, he had to let it go, and the pain was on his feet. We ought to think about the sacrifice every time we think about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And if we don't do that, we bring judgment on ourselves according to the scripture. This is something that's important for you and I, that not just on this day that the world deems as a holiday, Easter, but that we do it every first day of the week to remember Jesus' sacrifice. Why does Jesus want us to remember? Why does he want us to remember? For me, number one, it shows how much love God has for you, and he shows what love is. I have a hard time believing that you love me if you don't show that you love me. Guys can say that to a girl all the time. Girl, you know I love you. But never having to prove that love. And so it grows in your mind and you begin to believe it, because he's never having to put forth the effort to show the love. And we have these virtual relationships in our lives where we think people love us, but when the trouble comes, they disappear. And so we remember Jesus. Jesus wants us to remember what he has done for us on the cross, but also he shows us what love is. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, we can all quote it. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Love is an action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, God gave his only begotten son to show you how much love he has for you. That's one of the reasons why you got to remember. Because I can see what love looks like through God in the form of giving his only begotten son. Now, I'm telling you what, I love the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. But I'm not finna kill my son for the sins of many. No, I'm not finna do that. But thank God I'm not the Lord. And many of you would be called into question, would you be able to sacrifice your loved one for the cause of everyone else? I'm not finna do that. But Jesus, the Lord God in heaven, did that. And Jesus did it in obedience to our God. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 13, greater love has no man than to do what? Lay down his life for his friend. Here it is again. Love does. Love is an action word. Mama used to say, I action you. I love you. Love shows you. Love does what it's supposed to do. If you're a parent, you go to work for those children. You go to work for those kids to provide a life for them that they don't have to worry about income or what's going to be put on the table. You go to work and put food on that table. If a man doesn't provide for his own family, he's worse than an unbeliever. And a man is going to get up and go to work and provide out of the love he has for his family. A wife will show love and support for her husband. Children, if you love your parents, you will obey them in the sight of the Lord. When somebody says, I love you, there's something implied there. It means that I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. John chapter 14, verse number 15. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. There it is again. Love is, you have to show love. Love, you cannot just say it. And Jesus says, if you love me, let me show you how you can show me that you love me. Many people around the world say, yeah, I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but the life is living something totally opposite of what he has instructed us to do. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You're going to hold my commands in your mind. You're not going to just read them and forget, or follow them when it's convenient for you, or bring it out when somebody else is in error and show them what the word of God says. You're going to keep and hide that word in your heart, and you're going to meditate on it day and night, and that when the time comes, you're going to follow and keep the commandments of the Lord. Why? Because you love the Lord and you want to show him. Lord, I'm showing you with my life. I'm showing you with the decisions that I make. I'm showing you how faithful that I am, even in the midst of my trials, Lord. I'm going to serve you till the day I die. Why? Because you are worthy of my love. Because you love me before I ever love myself. And sometimes I don't love myself. We do things detrimental to ourselves. We don't eat right. We drink alcohol to the point that we are non-remembering. We hurt ourselves. We don't want anybody else to know about. We all have our secret things, and we bring pain on ourselves. We commit sin that because we sow sin in our life, we have to reap it. If I love myself, I would never sow those kinds of seed to reap on myself. But Jesus loves you, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's an implied sense that you're going to do what it takes. In John chapter 21, verse number 17, the Bible says, a third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. It is job as the leaders of the Lord's church to feed the sheep. It is a responsibility of the gospel preacher to feed the sheep. It is a responsibility that if you love me, it causes you to do the work of the Lord. And so we remember Jesus' sacrifice because we see what love really looks like. And in your life, if you say you love somebody, you're going to have to show it. It's not enough just to say it. Boy, you know I love you. Girl, you know I love you. There was an old song in the 80s, What Have You Done For Me Lately? And it was a song that I remember hearing, but that resonates. Love is not just what I did for you last year. It is what you are doing for me when I need you right now. And Jesus is there for you right now in the midst of your trial. And so the next thing that reason why God wants us to remember is it shows how far he's willing to go to save you. And he paid a huge price, a price no one's really willing to pay. It was a price that mama couldn't pay. And we see there are bills that are mounting now. And what a blessing would be to have loan forgiveness for all of our bills. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that, you know, I spent all this money that I didn't have and just come around that I don't have to pay it anymore? What a redeeming situation. Or that you've committed a crime. And you know you're going to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And the judge says you have been acquitted of all charges. And most of us, we've never been so down, so low that we can not appreciate it. But this here alone, remember what Jesus has done for us, can help your low self-esteem, your fear, your intimidation. The feelings of worthlessness. Some of us tie our self-being with what we do for a living. And now that that's taken away from us, we feel less than. But God loves you, whether you have a job or not. God is trying to save you, no matter where you live. God loves you, even if she leaves you because you're not able to provide. God loves you, even if he leaves you because you're no longer young and beautiful. God loves you. God loves you, and your worth is so much to him that he would give his son for you and for me. And so that knowing that his worth, what is your life worth? We read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. How are we healed? Not physically. But spiritually healed. We are healed physically. We are healed spiritually by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That's a price that was paid. And to see, we barely like for kids to fall down when they're babies. We hate to see them fail. We hate to see them get into a fight. One of the Bible Hour kids came to Bible Hour, and somebody at school had hit him in his eye, and I was ready to go get the kid that did it, and it's not even my child, so I can imagine what the parent felt like. And to see children go through pain, it's a soft spot in my heart for them, and I'm sure for you as well. But God, seeing his son being lashed, being bleeding, being wounded for our transgressions, for something that you and I've done, and we continue to do this day, even though we've named the name of Jesus as our Savior, we're still dealing with those same sins because we fail to remember what was done for us. When you remember what was done for you, there's a level of appreciation. You value it and you value your own life because I know, you know, even if my mama didn't say I loved me, she loves me. I know that I'm loved. Even if daddy was never there to tell me how to do certain things, I know that I'm loved. And there's a lot of people that's hurting right now. Emotionally, they won't ever tell you about it. But they deal with this in their life, and they lash it out in different ways. They are angry, they are frustrated, they curse, They curse their loved ones. They're hard to deal with because they're dealing with the pain of loss or something that's empty inside of them. Well, I can't feel that for you. No man can. But there was one that can, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you remember his sacrifice, at least on this day, remember that you're worth more than rubies. You're worth more than any possession because Christ loved you before you love yourself. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, I want you to understand, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we can have everlasting life. Now, that's hard for us to fathom because we want what we want right now. And we attribute how, well, if I just serve God right, I should have my blessings. If I serve God right, I should get the promotion. If I serve God and I'm faithful, I should be able to keep my job. If I serve God right, my wife should treat me right. If I serve the Lord and I'm open the buildings, my family is going to do right. But and if I raise my children in the nurturing admonition of the Lord, they're going to stay for their entire life. If I serve God, even if I won't get a flat tire on the road. If I serve the Lord, God is going to protect my house and let no intruder come in. If I serve the Lord, everything will be all right in my life. And we have this worldview. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There's some things that happen to you while you're down here that's not attributed for how well you serve the Lord. Your success may only come on the other side. And that's a hard pill to swallow because I've been serving the Lord my whole life. But there's been some things that I said, God, that ain't right. How did you let that happen to me? And your God's goodness is not tied to your current situation. And we need to hear that today because some things are going to happen in the future. Regardless of what goes on with our finances, regardless of what goes on in our job, health may fade. Your health may come to a point one day where question you, Lord, I served you all these years. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? How did I get cancer? How did I get sick? And now I used to go visit and now they're coming to visit me. How could you let this be, Lord? And we get frustrated. We can turn our face to the Lord and pray and still nothing happens. But your faith cannot be tied to your current situation. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 23. You are not your own. I love this scripture. You have been bought for a price. Therefore, honor God in your bodies. You have been purchased by Jesus' blood. And so your value is far more than you could ever understand. The third reason we should not forget the cross is to remember that it was a temporary situation. Now, Jesus started his ministry at age 30. And he was ended up at 33 on the cross. Abraham was 100 years old when the promised son was born to him, Isaac. Joseph was 17 years old when the Lord came to him in a dream and gave him the dream about his destiny. But he waited until he was 30 before he was the governor of Egypt. He waited 13 years. Jacob waited 14 years for Rachel. Now, I love my wife, but I don't know if I'm going to wait 14 years to be able to call her my own. In certain things in our life, you've been waiting for 13, 14, 15, 20, 30 years for some things. And you wonder, Lord, why is it taking so long? I've been dealing with pain. I've been dealing with hurt. I've been dealing with trials. And you allowed it to stay in my life for this long. How long should I have to wait? Mary waited for her son to fulfill the promise that he was going to be the Messiah. The Bible talks about her hiding those things in her heart. How long, if you can imagine, she watching him as he grows, as he does some things, and she writing down, keeping things in her heart, remembering. But she had to wait for that promise. We wait for the glory of seeing our children grow. We wait to see what they come into fruition, what God brings to them in a life. And we live a life of waiting. But when Jesus was on the cross, We remember the cross because of its significance, but he didn't stay on that cross. And you may be bearing your cross to this day. You may be dealing with trouble and situations that causes you to, you know what, I can't stand it anymore. But Jesus is time on the cross was short, and he served his ultimate purpose. Maybe your time right now is to serve your purpose in this life. That your current season of drought, your current season of pain is so that you can be strong enough to help someone else in the future. Matthew, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39, go a little further, and he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not my will, but as you will." And so here's Jesus. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing agony, facing pain. And he does what you and I should do, is get down on our knees and pray to the Lord and ask God, "God, let this cup pass for me." But did God let it pass? God, he had to go through and he had to wait for it to be done. He had to go through and stand before Pilate, see them hurl insults at him. He had to be beaten, he had to be spat upon, and he endured the pain for sins he never committed, and he receives the glory to this day. And you will not have temporary challenges. We're dealing with mental healing, we're dealing with physical sickness, we are dealing with our own cross to bear. Maybe it's a marriage or a relationship that needs to be restored. Maybe we're waiting on a future spouse. Lord, you have not brought him in my life. You haven't brought her in my life. How long will I have to wait? We want children. And it's a hard thing to deal with life, not being able to bear children. Lord, I'm young. Give me some children. And I've been asking you, Lord, and you're bearing this cross. You're bearing this cross still to this day. And you want answers. Lord, I want answers for direction and guidance. I want the promotion on my job so I can provide better for my family. I want a job, period, Lord. I've been laid off. Can you give me something else? Lord, I want freedom. I'm being bogged down, and I want freedom in my life. Maybe we're waiting for justice. Justice to be served for all those who have done evil in our lives, and it is bothering us. They're holding me down. We want change. We want dreams of fulfillment. We want a fulfillment of promises. Lord, we want better. And you in your current season. But I want you to remember that Jesus was on that cross. He bled and died on that cross. And he said at one point, "It is finished." He finished the work that needed to be done. And your time has not come for your work to be finished. His sacrifice is an example of our worth, of what love is, and how temporary our current situation may be, but the significance of it, if we endure to the end, if we're faithful to the point of death, until death, we may receive a crown of life when we hear the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We want to see God's face in peace. But we've had so much trouble, and we're causing more trouble because we're getting tired of waiting on the Lord. We're getting tired of waiting on the Lord. And I know I get tired of waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we can't even wait for our waiter. We can't wait for the check to come in the mail. We can't wait. Even when we're talking to somebody, maybe they say it so long, we've been used to YouTube being able to double the speed, and we're used to hearing things at a fraction of the time. So now we can't even listen to somebody's conversation, to appreciate the art of conversation, to talk. And we get so impatient. We get impatient with our children who are doing children things, and we forget where we were. We get impatient with the young people in the church, and we forget where we were. We get impatient about how God is causing things to stop at this point, and God has allowed us to be held from our family, to be held from things that we love, to be held from our jobs, to have to work at home and be around people we're tired of. Whatever the case, God is still a good God, and we can have the chance to grow spiritually if we wait on him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That word "wait" in the Hebrew text, it means literally the root word is from like making a rope. And so when you wait, it builds tension. And if you look at a rope, that one strand is not able to hold all of the weight. But the rope is, once it's wrapped around, it becomes tighter. And so this waiting is wrapping around. It becomes tighter, and you will renew your strength the longer you wrap around the Lord. And in the building of that tension, the building of that strength, you can endure everything. They that wait on the Lord, they that wrap around the Lord, they that are patient, that put their faith in the Lord, that I'm studying the Lord's word, that I'm putting everything I have in the Lord, I will become stronger. I will become stronger because I'm wrapped around the promises of God. I'm wrapped around the love of the Lord. I'm wrapped around the studying of his word. And through that, I can remain faithful. I can last longer. But some of us don't know how to wait. We can't wait. In this context, they were the Israelites were about to go to Babylon. Well, from Babylon to Jerusalem was about 700 miles. It's about New York to Chicago if you walk. And, you know, humans walk at around 3 to 4 miles per hour. And so it would have taken them 2 weeks if they did 12-hour day walks. And, you know, they didn't have any Nikes then. So they had a long journey ahead. And you and I, we can gain understanding by understanding that in this life, you're going to wait. You're going to have to wait. And so right now, what did you do? Last week, we talked about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about praying to the Lord, and we see John giving a view in heaven of the incense and the prayers going up to God. And so God hasn't forgotten your prayer. And now what do you do after you've prayed? You go to God again and you wait. And in the waiting, even though Jesus prayed, he still had to go through what he had to go through, which is an example for you and I. You're going to have to go through what you're currently going through. But through it, if you remain faithful, if you study the word of God, if you remain faithful and make sure that you don't do anything outside of the word of the Lord, God is faithful and just, and he will bless you, whether if it's in this life or the life here to come. And that may not be what you want to hear. God, I want to be blessed right now. I want vengeance right now. I want everything right now. But there's no promise. There's no promise that you're going to be vindicated in this life. But if I remain faithful, as Jesus rose again from the dead, as Jesus rose up, we can see his face in peace when he comes in the cloud, and we can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. And so I say today, how is your faith? Where is your faith? And if you forget, don't forget the cross. Remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Remember the love that was shown for you and I. And in that memory, I can cause myself to remember how much I am valued in the sight of God, how far he'll go to save me. And that if nobody else says they love you, I know God loves me. But I also know what love looks like. I know that it's more than just saying it. I see what love is doing. Love is action. Love is not a dead word. Love does what it says it's going to do. And so if you want to become a Christian, we want you to have access to the blood of Jesus. If you want to become a Christian, you can hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That if we repent of our sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Well, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And if we believe, Bible says Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we must repent. Bible says Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We're going to have to give that noble confession. And the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can become a Christian by coming to Jesus in the way that is set forth in the word of God. Or if you stand in need of prayer, you can ask for prayer, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous does great things. There are many things that we're dealing with in our lives, and we want God to change them. But I want you to remember Jesus on this cross bore this our sins, and that if you can endure just a little while longer, Lord will deliver you, whether if it's in this life or the life to come. If you stand subject to an invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.